Well, every year, the church here contains a Good Shepherd Sunday, and this is it. And it's certainly a great Sunday for a baptism. Today, Aislinn Mays, we welcome into the family of God. Today she becomes a lamb in the flock of our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. The text of our meditation today is from the Gospel reading from John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." This is just before Jesus says, "I'm the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." So in our text, Jesus relates this parable being the door to the sheep, but he does it after a big exchange that he has with the Pharisees, after Jesus had healed a man who was born blind. And the Pharisees don't like this because Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath day, and no work was supposed to be done on the Sabbath day. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." And then when the man who was healed, the man who now could see, tried to explain everything, they denied his explanation. They said, "We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is pious and does his will hear. Never has it been heard that someone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this were not from God, he could not do anything." So the Pharisees were confused. How could Jesus heal this man if he weren't from God? But then why would he do it on the Sabbath day? So Jesus tells them this parable to unconfuse them. He gives this concrete example of a spiritual truth. Just like baptism is a concrete example of a spiritual truth of what God is doing here and now today in our midst. He says, to those who have eyes with eyes of faith and can see, they can see the Messiah. They can see Jesus. They can see the Christ who has come to save them and forgive them. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as he says. The only way to God the Father in heaven. But sometimes we can't see that, and the Pharisees couldn't see that. Sometimes we're blinded by our own selfishness or by our own self-righteousness, as was the case with the Pharisees. Well, you heard the parable. In the parable, the sheep are God's people. In Jesus' day, sheep were kept in this walled enclosure at night so they'd be safe. And there was only one door. That's why Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." Because only through him can the sheep go in and out to pasture and back to safety and security. Jesus addresses this teaching to the Pharisees, saying, "You guys are the thieves and the robbers because you're not teaching the only way to the Father, which is through the Messiah. You're teaching that," as they were saying earlier, "if you're pious enough and do God's will, then he will hear you. You got to earn it. You got to do it the right way. You have to do it our way," the Pharisees said. That's what happens in this world too. There are many who say, "There's many roads to heaven." They used to say, "All roads lead to Rome." Well, today we've kind of translated that into, "All roads lead to heaven." But it's not true. I cannot get in my car and drive to Rome. It's a very wet trip if you try to do it. There's a whole thing called the Atlantic Ocean in the way. All roads don't lead to heaven. There's only one road that leads there, and that's through Jesus. He says, "I am the way. I am the truth and the life. The only way to life is through Jesus, eternal life." So Jesus brings this news to those who are spiritually dead. He says, "I am life. I am life incarnate. Life in the flesh. Those who live by him in faith live in his life." And although we go through a physical death, before God, we are made alive. Before God today, before you. Aislinn Maeve was made spiritually alive before God. It's a pretty awesome thing when you think about it. Well, what is life that God gives us through Jesus? What is it a solution to? Death. So the easy answer, an obvious answer, death. But life goes much more deeply than the absence of death. And people experience death in many ways. And people experience the prospect of death in many ways. For many of us, the prospect of death is terrifying. Shakespeare's Hamlet put it something like this: "Who would these burdens bear, to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler returns, puzzles the will, and makes us rather bear those ills that we have than fly to others that we know not of." Shakespeare's saying, or Hamlet's saying, this life might be crummy, but who knows what's on the other side of death, because it might be worse. And fear of that is what keeps us bearing life's burdens today. Kind of a dismal look at life, isn't it? Well, we naturally fear what we don't know. We fear what we cannot see. We cannot see what's on the other side of the door of death. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday in the class that we had on what happens when I die. There are these stories of these near-death experiences. People who are at the border of clinical death or just beyond it and come back. But really, death remains something that no mortal can speak about personally. None of us have really been there and come back, with one exception, who we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Death is frightening because for most of us, it marks a passage into something that's unknown. And death can also be terrifying and frightening because it can be painful. The process of going through death can be painful for some, and it certainly is painful for those of us who are left behind. Whether it comes suddenly or at the end of a prolonged illness, it always seems abrupt. We're seldom ready for death, and even when it comes to those we love, it's striking in the way it hits us. So we fear it. We want nothing to do with it. In our lives, the dying are shunted off to hospitals at the last moment or put in nursing homes where we don't see them dying. We don't want to be confronted with our own mortality. Some people don't feel that they're frightened by death. For them, they just view it as a transition to nothingness. They expect that there's nothing after death. To them, death is simply the end of a living thing, whether it's a plant or an animal. It's a biological process that simply ends. For them, death is meaningless, which means that their life is meaningless. It's merely a biological process on a random planet in a random universe with no purpose, no reason for existence. We live, we die, that's it. How meaningless, how hopeless. For most of us, death represents loss. The loss of a loved one is one of the most painful experiences in our mortal lives. It separates us from the people that we love, people with whom we've shared a part of our lives, people with whom we've shared part of our souls in terms of loving them. That's what we miss when they're gone. No matter how one views death, no matter how much medicine we take to try to defer it, put it off, no one is immune from it. And what many do not know is that our physical death, as frightening as it is, painful as it might be, is only a shadow of a more profound and serious death. You see, by nature, we sinful human beings are dead before God. Our shallow existence as mortals on this earth stands in stark contrast to the life that He is. God is the only one who exists in and of Himself, apart from everyone else. He is the source of life. He is the source of life. That is what His creation is, to give life, life to the world. That's why He cares so much about it. That's why He cares so much about you. Because He came to give you life. He came to create you and give you life. And then He sent Jesus to come again. Jesus came for that purpose, to give you life. That's what He says. He came into the flesh and became human because only in human flesh could He die so that you may live. That's why He came. That's why He died. And that's why He rose again, to give you life again. So Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep, that they may come in and go out and find pasture. That means He comes to give you life. That's what He says. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What does that mean? Abundant life. It means that the Son of God became human flesh to give you life. So that He could, in His flesh, die on the cross and give you life. And in the resurrection of His body, promise eternal life to you in your resurrected body. That means you get life from the author of life. Jesus says, I'm the door to the abundant life. Not a life that's just the absence of death, like your zombies walking around. No, that you can live and really live the way you're created to live. What does that mean? It doesn't mean, abundant life doesn't mean you're going to be rich. You might be, that's good. Good for you. It doesn't mean that you're going to have everything that you want. It doesn't mean that your life is going to be nice and neat and tidy. Far from it. It means that you're going to live in contentment by what God has done for you, by what Christ has done for you, so that you can look at what somebody else says owns, your neighbor who has more than you, guy next door who just bought a new car, whatever it is. And rather than covet that and be greedy for it and wish that you had it, you can say, good for them. What a wonderful blessing for God. That's contentment. You get that from Christ. And maybe you can share what you have with someone who has less than you through Christ. And receive contentment that way. That's living an abundant life, not worried about what possessions you have, but grateful for what the Lord has given you. Jesus is the door to protection and security and safety. He fills your life abundantly with meaning. You don't have to live a life that's hopeless and meaningless, like we live, we die, that's it. No. You can live a life with meaning. And where does meaning come from? Meaning comes from what Christ gives you. He gives you His love. Life without love is meaningless. But you have a Lord who goes to the cross for you to show you how much He loves you, who comes to you in His sacraments so that you can live in love and share love. That's a meaningful life and purpose. He gives you purpose like no other purpose in this world. Your purpose is to forgive other people, to share the forgiveness of Jesus Christ with other people, just as you've been forgiven. You know what that means to you. That you can stand before God as a righteous person because of Christ. That you can reconcile with someone, even someone who hates you, because of Christ. Because you know that you're forgiven. And sharing that forgiveness, there's no greater purpose on earth. That's what Christ gives you. So your abundant life begins in baptism, and it flowers in your resurrected life. But you can start living it today through Jesus Christ, through the abundant life that He richly gives you in His own name, the one and only way to the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. We rise for prayer.